So the title of this class is What If Getting High Quality Leads Via Facebook Was Easy and Fun? And that used to be the headline of the Simplera website, What If Selling Your Content Was Easy and Fun? And I thought I would steal that headline. But it can be easy and fun, but it's also something you have to spend some time learning. But after this, you'll be able to, you know, you'll know the basics of doing it, getting the leads from Facebook into Simplera. So here's the question: why should you listen to a grumpy old guy with a name that sounds like a forgotten Marvel character? So I'll just tell you a little bit about myself and my background. Yeah, there's a question right there. Or I need to make my screen size bigger here because okay, sorry. So yes, you can run some headlines past me. I couldn't see that. Questions. So I've been working with marketing, direct mail marketing, for more than 36 years. For the past 20 years, I've been working with online marketing, and for 10 years, I've been working primarily with email marketing and copywriting. So I've spent some time working with this, but having said that, I am not a Facebook ads specialist, but I've learned to do our own ads and helped a lot of my customers with this, and I've had some success with it. I've written more than 4,000 emails to dozens of lists and in multiple niches. So, and I've generated more than $20 million of sales and generated with email. So email marketing is my specialty, and leads generated through Facebook ads. I've generated tens of thousands of leads, but the sub headline is why, which by the way is irrelevant. And of course it's not irrelevant, but a lot of folks, focus on the number of leads you can generate. And I'm more interested in the quality of the leads. So if you look at this, you can see that the copy, your creative, your tone of voice, what you write to people in one email is only about, or in one campaign is only about 20% of getting the sale. The offer, your price, the price, the solution, the clarity, how well your customer understands your offer is 39% of the battle, and the list, the quality, and the product awareness of your list is 41%. Now that's, of course, is a little theoretical. It comes from a guy named Brian Kurtz, who has written this book called Over Deliver. And he hasn't written this book, but he is the publisher of this book called Breakthrough Advertising, a very important book on advertising. And he says, this is how it is. The list is the most important thing of your marketing, the quality of the list. So that's what I aim to, you know, get a list of high quality leads instead of getting a list of a lot of leads. So there was a discussion recently on LinkedIn about how many leads do you need to live the life you lead, and somebody made an Excel spreadsheet. You know, if you have got 1,000 leads now, then maybe you need 10,000 leads to get the turnover you want. But that's folly, because as you'll see through this masterclass, you won't necessarily get the same quality leads if you scale your campaign or from the, if you collect 1,000 leads, then the next 1,000 leads you get may not be as good as the first 1,000. So with that said, this is what you learned today. We will prepare your list in Simplero. We will set up your ads and create audiences, and we will get them into the list via Zapier. And then we'll look at some examples and best practices. Can you, Liz, since you're the only one right now here, do you want to tell me a little bit about your experience with Facebook ads? Do you have any? And do you want to talk?
Hi, sorry, I think I just got bumped while...
If you want to raise your hand or talk, just raise your hand.
Oh. Yeah, I'm actually on now, I think.
You are. You have. Oh, I like your background. You can totally talk now.
I should get rid of that. It's a little bit unstable.
I should. Just a minute. I need to be able to hear you.
Yeah, sorry. I'll put my mic in a better place.
I don't hear anything. I'm not hearing you.
Do you hear me?
Could you hear me, Neda?
No. I can hear you, yeah.
Can you help, Neda?
Yeah, and I can hear Liz perfectly clear. When you go into your Zoom settings, do you have the audio?
I will. You're not. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, now I can hear you.
Ah, great. There we go. Well done.
So what's your experience with Facebook ads?
Okay, well, I haven't actually used Facebook. Oh, no, that's not true. I've tinkered with Facebook ads just for the fun of seeing what you can do.
Right.
And so I haven't any commercial experience with it at all.
Okay. Okay. And do you mind telling what you're selling? What's your line of business?
Yeah, well, it's a startup. I'm bringing information services to corporate women and via courses and, you know, using automated funnel to do that. Plus email marketing, of course. But I have a very small list, so.
Yeah. So that's what we've got to change.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay, let's hop into it. You feel free to raise your hand anytime.
You can stay on here too if you want to turn your video off and on. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, cool. So I will share my screen here. And there's my it's very small. Maybe we should can you see this screen? Is it big enough for you? Or maybe we should turn off your video.
I can see it. Can you see it, Liz?
Yeah, I could see it, but it's quite blurry. So I'll bump my video and see if that helps.
And we'll just enhance it a little bit. Just a minute. Is this better?
I think so.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So in Simplero, you have, of course, lists, and I don't know if you are using double opt-in for your lists, but it is highly recommended.
Yes, I do.
You do that, yeah. So when you get leads from Facebook, that is a problem, or at least it used to be. I don't know if this is fixed. I don't think it is. So if you, I think I'll just take this out. If you have confirmation set on, then you, if you get leads from Facebook, they will also be asked to confirm, and that's not a good practice because they are already logged into Facebook. So you have more than enough proof that they are who they claim to be. They are not opting in with someone else's email, because they're opting in with the email from in that they have registered with Facebook. So it's not recommended to have this turned on for Facebook leads. The way I do, I get around this problem. Can you say something? No.
No, sorry. I'm just going to mute on this site. I'll mute myself and so I don't.
So the way I solve this is I make an extra list. So I have like this, excuse me for the Danish language here. Never mind that. This is our, one of our main lists, but the Facebook leads are not going directly to this list. I've created an extra list. And this list is only meant as a, what would I call that in English? They're just landing here, and this list is not with confirmation or not with double opt-in. And when they land on this list, I have a trigger, and it's just activating an automation. Do you know about automations?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, great. And this automation actually only does one thing. It subscribes them to the other list, to the original list. Because when you do this, they won't be asked to confirm, right? And makes sense. And then I wait 5 minutes, and then I unsubscribe them from the I just need to look up something. Just a second. I don't really know what this would be called. So this, yeah. So this is a stopover list. Does that make sense? And I unsubscribe them after 5 minutes. Why do I wait 5 minutes? It's because if you do it right away, if you started with this, if this was the first one, for example, then they wouldn't be able to be subscribed to this one. So just be wary of that. Subscribe them to the other list, to the original list, where they need to be. Wait 5 minutes and then unsubscribe them from the stopover list or whatever you want to call it. And that's it. So this list is only meant for getting them into Simplero without asking them to confirm. Because if you ask them to confirm, you'll lose a lot of them, and it's unnecessary, right? You don't need to legally, and you don't want to either, because people have a high trust in Facebook. So
is that just from Facebook leads, or like in general?
No, this is just from Facebook, because they are logged in on Facebook. And well, you could say other social media platforms could be the same if you create LinkedIn ads. But I only work with Facebook ads. So
gotcha.
And they also run on Instagram.
That's a good, easy workaround. But double opt-in is also helping with GDPR, isn't it? No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not a problem when they're coming from Facebook.
Right.
Because they are, you get proof on Facebook, and you know that they opted in through Facebook. So you've got plenty of proof. You have them inside your Facebook database. And yeah, they,
it's a more private account than an email can be.
Mm. Yeah. Anyone, if you have a landing page, anyone can opt in and can use your email to opt into anything. Mm. So that's why you need to confirm. So you have evidence that it was really the owner of the email. But no one has another person's email registered on Facebook, on their Facebook account, right? This is just a workaround.
Yeah.
Because you can't ask Simplero to not do this if they come from first Facebook. But if they go from one email, one list to another through an automation, then it works. Right. So that's just the preparing part inside Simplero. Create an extra list. Okay, now let's go to Facebook. So you know about Business Manager? Do you have a Business Manager account?
Sorry, on Facebook, I know about it. I think I have one, but I haven't been using it. I think I just, I'm aware they're there. It's there, and I just don't know any detail. Mm.
So I'll just say it is the best way to go. Because if you want help with your Facebook ads if something happens, then it's not your private Facebook login. It's an account that you can close down or you can kick people up off of. So it's better to have a business manager, but it's not a requirement, but I'll be showing you through the business manager. Yeah. So let's look at this. Oh, this was not the right window. I should have changed it to English. Yeah, it's English. So you know this window, right?
Yep.
And you have 3 panes. You have the campaign and the ad sets and the ads. And the campaign, you always have to have a campaign every time you create a campaign. That's obvious. And so let's try to create a campaign here. And to create lead ads on Facebook, you'll be choosing this and just continue. So the campaign is the overall basic things about the campaign. What kind of ads are you running here? And if we go to the ad set, you may have noticed that the window changed here. If you close this, this is just the same 3 panes in here. You just have them here vertically. So if you go to the ad set, this is where you choose your audiences, your budget, and some things. So you choose a daily budget, and we'll get back to the best practice about that. And you choose an audience and maybe the placements. Now, the best practice here is to, as much as possible, let Facebook do it, the automatic placements. There are some instances where you can't do it, but most of the time you would want to let Facebook find the best placements. And what is placements? It's where your ad is shown. We could just click here. And so there's the feeds, there's the stories and in stream and so on. So if you just choose the automatic placements, then Facebook will find the best places to put the ads, to find the audiences you want to find. And we'll get back to the audience in more detail, but in general, you should create an audience that is wider, probably wider than you think. So we have, in my wife's business, we have target audience between 30 and 50 years, but we're setting it to maybe 22 to 65 years because we've found out that Facebook is better at narrowing it down. So it's almost always better to have a wider audience than a narrow one. And then so the ad set is budget, who and where, or the audience, where are they, who are they, and the placements on social media. And then there's, of course, the ad. So these three different things have to be in place. In every campaign, you can have more than one ad set, and in every ad set, you can have more than one ad. But you have to be very careful that you don't confuse yourself and create too many versions or variations of an ad, because it becomes exponentially more expensive to get valid data. And it just gets more expensive the more versions you have. That is not to say you shouldn't split test. We'll get back to that. But you have to be very careful to do it in the right, to do the right way. Let's get back to the let's stay here. Let's just quickly create an ad. You choose if it's a carousel or a single image or video. Have you tried these different versions of ads?
I've only used image so far.
Yeah. And I would also be careful with the carousel. It's nice to try it, but the basics about it is you create as many images as you want and people can scroll through them. But I have found them to not work as well. You might want to split test. So you have one carousel ad and then maybe an image ad and a video ad. But I've found they tend to not work as well for lead ads as pictures. But that's just my experience.
Video for lead ads?
Sorry?
What about video for lead ads?
Yeah, it can be okay. And you always have to test. Don't rely on my advice or anyone else's. You always have to test. Sorry, there's this coming in my ear is a little late. I think I will just try to use another monitor or another sound source. Confuses me. Can you just say something?
Hello.
Yeah, okay. Is it okay still?
Yeah, you're coming in clear.
Great. Then you're not, or my own voice was coming as an echo in my ears. That was kind of confusing. But anyway, test them. The carousel can be nice, but I've found to lead ads, images or video is better. And actually, images have been for our, especially for yoga, have been very good, but tested. So in order to create a lead ad, you need a form. So in the campaign, we set it up to be a lead ad. And down here, you have to create your ad. Of course, you have a picture and you have some text. And headline. And a description. This is just quickly, I'll show you some examples. And you can choose if they have, if you want to control what they see, the link they see, then you just type it here. And you have a call to action. Of course, you can also test which one of them is better. I tend to use sign up, because then you're honest about what's going on. They are signing up for something and you're getting better quality leads if you are honest and you're not trying to get people to sign up without them knowing. So you have to create a form. Have you tried this before? Hey there, Brian.
Not in here. No, I don't think so.
No. So when you're I'll just click the campaign here. When you've created a lead generation campaign, then the ads you create will have this button. Where is it? It's a little slow. There. You'll have this create form. If you've created forms before, you can duplicate old forms, but let's just click create form. And basically you'll just have to, you'll name it. And it asks you which form would you want for more volume or for higher intent. I wouldn't recommend using this unless you're a specialist. Just use this one because this gets tricky. So I would definitely use that. And then this is the form that pops up when they click sign up. So I would also recommend use the image from your ad, unless it's very special, because then it's the same image they've just seen in the ad. And or whatever you want to write here, of course. And this is very neat because after this, they just click next and they don't have to write their email or their name. It's already filled in for them. So that's why I recommend using Facebook lead ads, because it tends to be higher converting than landing pages. I've heard people say that it's not, but I haven't been able to match the results from lead ads with a landing page myself. You would only want email and the name. I don't know if you want the full name, but you can change the label of it. Where is that? Used to be here. No, you can't actually. But that's basically, you can leave out the name if you don't want that. But it's not, I don't think you'll get lower conversion rate if you do, because or higher if you do, because they don't have to fill it out. It's already filled in by Facebook. And down here you have to add a link for your privacy policy. You don't get around that. Actually, I don't have the link by myself now, so I won't be able to create this. So I'll just duplicate one of the others. That's easier. So I'll have to show you something here. So I'll just duplicate this one. And so this is a real life example. It's in English, but it's just the usual stuff. You're getting something to sign up a coupon code with 3,000 Danish kroner. That's about, I think, 500 bucks or something like that. And use the image. And here's the text over here. And I don't have any questions. So there's the link to the privacy policy. And after that, you'll have to fill in what they get when they sign up. So this is a small thank you page. And that's it. That's the form you need to use. And you can save this draft or you can publish it. The minute you publish it, you won't be able to change it, but you can just duplicate it anytime. Just make sure you give it a name that you can remember. Because when you have to get them into Facebook or into Simplero via Zapier, this name is important. So we'll just not save this. Yeah. That's how you create a lead ad with Facebook. The important thing is this form. So any questions so far? No? No questions.
No, right. No questions for me. Thanks.
That's good. And do you need, do you want to see more of this, or should we just head on with the next thing in here?
I'm happy to keep going.
Yeah. So let's just close this. I will just show you one of our lead ads. So this is a campaign that's been running for some time. We're running a teacher training, yoga teacher training. And the price of this yoga teacher training is around 33,000 Danish kroner. That is also, I think it's around 5,000 Danish kroner or dollars. So we've got I need to go outside here to see the ad sets. So I've got two different ad sets running. It would seem I have three, but this is not active. I've got one that is to a wide lookalike audience, and I've got one that is to a little narrower audience. And if I go into this, I've got different ads. Right now, I only have, I think, one running ad in this one. But maybe you can see there have been many different ads because this has been running for some months. And sometimes when an ad has been shown a lot of times, you want to make a new one with a new picture or maybe split test a few pictures. But this is, let's just see it right here. It's a very simple ad. It says, do you want one of the last remaining two spots? Because there are not many spots left. And they get a discount for signing up and they get some tips and that's about it. And when they click here, this is the leads. Well, it's this is just a preview. Normally it would be filled out when they see it. And when they, unless of course they change that, that might be true. That might be so. Oh, it doesn't support that. And this is where they land when they signed up. All right. And this ad, if we look at the numbers, you can see over the past few days, if I go back to the campaign set, we've had 35 leads through this ad or this campaign, and the cost is around $6 each. So that these leads are not cheap. All right. Let's look at how we get these leads from Facebook into Simplero. So for that, you'll need Zapier. And do you know this platform?
I know it, I don't have it.
You don't have it?
No.
So there's no way to way around it if you want to run lead ads. And if you really want to get high converting ads from Facebook, I would highly recommend doing this.
Yeah.
So you'll need Zapier, and yeah, you need to have a paid account. It's the let's see, Zapier pricing. I think it's the lowest the price or the 2 seconds. Yeah, it's the $18. I think it's, if you pay monthly, I think it's 20, but something like that. $20 a month.
Thanks for looking that up.
Yeah. And because you can't make a SAP from Facebook without the paid. You can make SAPs, but not from Facebook, unfortunately. So inside your Facebook account, it's quite easy to set up. You can look at your SAPs, and a SAP is just, you know, compared to automations in Simplero. You create a SAP that is looking at Facebook, you're looking at your Facebook account. Whenever somebody signs up, it throws it into Simplero. And let's just quickly create one SAP here. So it asks you what's the event you want to look at. So now this screen is actually changed recently. But yeah, you can search for anything here, and it's the Facebook lead ads. And it says premium here. I think that's because you have to have a premium account. So I choose that. And then it says, okay, what triggers the event? It's a new lead. It's the only thing there is. So that's what I choose. I say continue. And if I didn't have an account here, I could just set it up right here. Now I have an account set up, but if you don't have it, you'll be told what to do to set it up so that it connects to Facebook. You'll have to log into Facebook from here. I have this, and I can see it's this one because it's used in 48 SAPs. And that's the first step of your SAP. Now you have to choose what page it's from. I have many Facebook pages connected to this, so I just need to connect it to the right one. That's the Facebook page from which I'm running my ads. And then I want, as you can see, this is where I choose my form. And if the names are not, of course, if I know it's the latest one, then I can just choose that. But remember to use some meaningful names. Yep, that's it. That's the first part of the SAP. Now we know where we want to get the leads from. And we can test it, see if it works. And we found a lead, so we can continue. This is just a test. And the next part, you'll need to choose Simplero. If you can't see it here, you'll just type in Simplero. And choose what do you want to happen in Simplero. And we want to subscribe to a list. I think there have been added some. No, anyway, that's not for now. Subscribe to a list. And you have to choose an account if you have got more Simplero accounts. I do. But this is my wife's Simplero account. Continue. And also here, you'll be asked to set it up. If you're not connected to your Simplero account yet, then it will ask you to set it up. And it's quite easy to do. So you choose a list name because it knows you must have a list to sign up to a list, and this is it. And you have to find the customer's name if that was on your form, and it was. So Facebook shows you a name here. Choose that. So it's looking down into our Facebook account right now. And you have to have the email, of course. This is it. And that's about it. You can put on some tags and some other stuff, but it's not necessary. This is getting your email, your lead from Facebook to Simplero. Continue. And also here you can test it, and if that works, you can turn it on. I don't want to do that now because I already have a SAP for this. So it would just be double. But I can go look at my SAPs here. And if you wonder what's going on, you can click out here and view the SAP history. That can be very helpful. And you'll be able to see the emails of each person here. So if something goes wrong, also, if something goes wrong, you probably get an email from Zapier. But so this seems to be working well. That's about it. Now, this is, of course, I forgot one thing inside the SAP. So if we choose this one, I forgot to repeat that you, of course, have to choose the special list you created just to get them inside Simplero without the confirm or the confirmation. But this is obvious, but just remember this. And then inside Simplero, we'll throw them to the other list. With the automation. So this is where they land from Facebook. They're not asked to confirm. And then you put them onto the original list or the main list. And they're not asked to confirm when you zap them over inside Simplero via an automation. So now they are inside Simplero, and of course you want to send them emails. I suppose you probably do that. Maybe you do it via autoresponse. I would highly recommend doing it via an automation, because that way you can control it better. You can send them an email right away, and then you can control the time where they get the next email. We always send emails in the morning or in the afternoon. And if you just create an autoresponse, then you don't control the timing of the email. If they sign up 3 o'clock at night, then they always get the emails at that time, because you can only send one email a day, and that's 24 hours. That's the same time inside Simplero. So let's get back to my list of, so now we've created an ad, we've zapped it into Simplero, and I'd like to give you some good ideas for ads. Here is my, or some ideas at least. If you want to split test different ads, and you do want to, because there is a lot of opportunity lost if you don't, then you must split test screams and not whispers. And what do I mean by that? Well, this is an ad I run for one of my, I was a part of it, one of my customers called Karen, she's living in New Jersey. And she's a coach. And she'd created a few of this ad with the same picture, the same text, but with different colors in the background. And so I told her, that's whispers. You're just testing whispers, and you won't get anything valuable out of it by testing things that are almost the same, just another color. So I created these three ads, and there was a very big difference between the conversion rate. And I can show you how to create this split test, but I'm curious if you can guess which one was the winner. I would say
it's the eye.
The eye. Yeah. So you're the second person to guess the winner. That's true, but most people don't guess this one. But it's true. It won. This is a picture of herself. So, and she is known here. So some might think that, you know, her own picture would win the competition, but it didn't. So it was by a landslide. This one was the winner. It was the only ad that really converted any leads at all. The others were, I think this one converted a little bit, but it was very expensive per lead. I don't know if you know it, but when you run a Facebook ad, you pay for impressions. So if you get one lead per 1,000 impressions with this ad, and you get one lead per 2,000 impression with this ad, then it's the price per lead is just doubled. So it's important to test very different pictures if you split test pictures, or if you split test the copy, then create something that's really different. Don't just change a comma or a few words or the color of the background of the picture. Change something. Test something that's really different. One split test I did had a picture like this, and that was the winner. That was another niche. So you never know until you test it. We've found out in the yoga business that also we also try to split test different things, but we found out that pictures with 4 or 5 people or more is the best way to go with yoga. If it's just one person or two persons, people, then it's not converting as well as pictures with more people. But maybe that's just us. Maybe that wouldn't be the same for others. So always, always split test. So do you want to see how we split test like this?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. So what we do is, let's go to the other window here. So with this campaign. Now I have split tested many different, but the thing is I create an ad set. Right now I have 2 running ad sets. And inside this ad set, I usually create 3 different ads. I mean, you can split test more, but every time if you do 4 ads or 5 or 6, it becomes more and more expensive to find a winner. And so, like I said before, it's better to split test screams and then find a winner and then maybe split test different copy or different versions of that picture or whatever, but don't try to test too many things at one time, because then you'll never be able to pay for the ad expenses. So inside this, I have different ads, but I only have 1 running, but I could just duplicate this ad. So I'll be running, and I want to do that shortly. This is the one running. Yeah. This is just a draft. I don't know where this comes from. I think it was a test we just created before, but this ad is running right now. And I could just duplicate it. So now I'm inside the ad and I could duplicate it here, I think. And normally I do it outside. No. Yeah, normally I do it. Oh, it's here. I do it out here, duplicate. And you have exactly the same copy and exactly the same picture, but then you just change the picture inside. And when the 2 ads are running in the same ad set, Facebook will try to find a winner between those. So let's change the media here. Now you could split test between a picture and a video and a carousel, as I said before. That's one way to split test. I don't do that anymore because I just haven't been able to get a winner with a carousel or a video. So now I'm using videos a little differently. I'll get back to that. Because we also have to look at how to create audiences. Now, this is slow, but let's just pick one of these pictures. And you may want to also split test different sizes of pictures, but funnily enough, Facebook does not recommend this picture size. It's 1200 what is it? 628 times 1200 pixels. And they recommend trying, perfect squares or whatever, but I have found this format to be the best. So that's also something you can try out. Now we have a different picture running. I could publish it and then it would be running. I don't want to do it. But yeah, there's the draft, and I could publish it, and then Facebook would try to find a winner between the two or three, whatever. It's actually that easy. You just put more ads inside the same ad set. And I have found this the best way to split test. You can create a split test with another function. That's a campaign, that's a split test. But I haven't found it to be very useful, because then you have to set a certain time that it runs, and then it ends, and then the campaign is done, and you have to create a new campaign on top of that. It's better to just start the campaign and have maybe three different ads and then run it and see. Then you let's just look at these ads right here. You can see if we go to the this here and look at the different ad sets in the lifetime of the ad or the campaign, you can see that we've generated 245 leads with this one. And this one has only generated 31. But if you look at the last week, the last 7 days, then you'll see that this one has actually generated more leads in the latest, the last 7 days. So, and it's a new one, this ad set. So it's good to look at the, to follow and see how well it performs. And of course, the price of it, always, you always want to follow what is the price of each lead. You don't want that to run amok. So what is the best practice for price of a campaign? That is always different from niche to niche and from campaign to campaign, but you must at least give Facebook something to work with. So if you want to run a campaign that costs, say, $10 a day, then you might want to start with $20 or $30 a day, because you'll never find a winner if you don't give it enough budget to find the winner. So maybe a little more in the beginning, but it all depends. You have to see what is the price of your special audience, what will be the price of each lead. I would say maybe $20 to $40 a day would be a good starting point, and then follow it, watch it, watch what happens. Is Facebook using the budget, and are you getting leads? If not, then something has to change. Right. So what I...
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Couple of things, actually. I see it's the attribution settings gone to 7 day clicks as opposed to 28, I noticed in your full list. And I think that was something Facebook's done. Is that of any consequence to your results?
Sorry, I didn't get what was the question?
The attribution setting. If the result comes through within 7 days now of them first looking at an ad.
Oh yeah.
As opposed to 28 days, has that sort of changed any of the workings for you?
I don't know, to be honest.
Because it's only just happened, I think, a few days. Right. I think they said actually then the 18th or 19th of January it started. Right. Anyway.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Another question: if you're starting a low budget campaign, and you, obviously Facebook needs time to work with the information, how long do you need to give it?
Yeah.
Two weeks, four weeks.
You can trust the results?
Yeah,
a few days, at least a couple of days, I would say. And then, you know, if I run a campaign, we usually set the new campaigns to around 200 to 300 Danish kroner. That's around $40 maybe. And if we don't start getting leads after one day, I mean, the first day you probably won't get many leads, but if you don't start getting leads after one to two days, then something is, then you have to consider if something is wrong, it's off. Yeah, but it can change, and there will be, so if you run, this ad has been running for months and I've been changing the ads, this campaign has been running for months, I've been changing the ads. And if you run the same ad for say 2 or 3 weeks, then maybe the price in the beginning goes a little up and then it might go down, and then it starts going up steadily, and it will keep going up per lead. And do you know why?
I imagine because it's working.
Yeah, it's very simple. Facebook is very good at finding the cheapest, the best leads when you give it something to work with. So if everything is working, yeah, then the first leads you get will be cheaper than the first 100 leads you get will be cheaper than the next 100 leads you get. That's just how it is. They will try to find the easiest to convert people. And after some time, it could be 100 leads, it could be 1,000 leads, it all depends on the niche or whatever, and the ad, then and how wide the audience is and so on. Then the price will start to go up, and you don't need to panic about that. But of course, after some time, you'll learn how much you want to pay for a lead. And we've found that when the price starts to go beyond $10, I think, then we'll change the ad or change something. So recently I had a session with a Facebook supporter, and sometimes they offer to call you. If you start using money, then they all offer to call you, and it's a really good idea to get that help. And we created this extra ad set for this campaign. And as you can see, it has generated quite a few leads. That's quite good for 1 week. And this price is very much lower than we're used to. So that's good. But the price will go up again after some time. I also have to create some split tests. This one is not the same picture as the other one. So in here we have, oh wait, that was wrong. Let's see which one is running. Yeah, it says learning limited, but that's just because we're not spending enough money, but it's still working. But this one is, come on, this picture of my wife, Tanya, and some yogis. And it could be the picture. It could also be the ad set. We don't know that for sure, because this ad is not the same as in the other ad set. So let's just look at some audiences.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to. I noticed Tara was here. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. But if you want to come on and ask or talk to Morten or ask any questions, just let us know in the chat and I'll get you up here.
I couldn't hear that, but there's another participant. Yeah, feel free to ask questions, raise your hand. Now let's look at audiences, because are you using Facebook? I'm asking Liz, but I'm also asking the new participant, Peril. Paul is from Denmark. He or she is from Denmark. I don't know who is this. Anyway, are you using social media, video, and stuff like that yet?
I have taken a break from that, but I am preparing to get back into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about split testing between ads that contain pictures and then video and also carousel ads. But you might also consider using the video to get interaction. Like if you have, I have a customer who is, has a small shop in a small town in southern Denmark. And they create a lot of videos, like 4 to 5 each week. And these videos get a lot of attention and a lot of likes and comments and so on. And you can create an audience that is based on people who saw maybe 15 seconds of a video. And that's a great way to get very cheap leads. Because if you can create some videos that people like, and Facebook call it through plays, if they watch more than 15 seconds of a video. And if they do that, then they are probably interested in you or whatever your service is. And so we have different videos that we use this way. So we create a video, and maybe we even post the video with an ad campaign. So maybe you get some likes and some comments and so on. And then after a while, we put some money into giving it more reach. And that's not very cheap, but the people who watch the videos are more likely to sign up for the email list. So I could show you that. One thing you must not do is let me just show you quickly here. So we have my wife's main page for the yoga teacher training. And whenever you find or maybe you think you want to boost this post, you must never use this button. Have you heard this before?
Yeah, I have heard not to boost.
Okay, great. But you can boost it. You just want to create the ad behind the scenes in your business manager.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. So here's a video.
Boosting a video, yeah, okay.
Yeah, here's a video and thank you. In Denmark, we have a tradition. It's called Fritas Slik candy, Friday candy. Do we only eat candy on Fridays? Yeah, we never eat candy otherwise.
In England, we have Friday gin and tonic.
Ah, that might be better. Anyway, so this video, if this is a competition where you can win this yoga mat, and you have to view it to see the three points she's talking about and three things that are special about her teacher training. And then they have to write a comment. This has only been running for a few days, but they have to write a comment with their favorite feature of the three features she's talking about. And that's a nice way to use it to get some interaction, because every every yogi wants to win a yoga mat. That's a good way to get. And the people who view through this is more likely to sign up for the email list. That's very simple. So what you do is, of course, not boost it. But if you want to give it more life, which I've done in here, this is competition. It means competition. I've created another campaign that is post. So instead of lead generation, I chose post engagement. And then I created an ad set with a quite wide audience. That is, if we just look at it, I've got some, the location is also, is always in Denmark, and the age is 21 to 65 plus, all genders, and just people who are interested in yoga, and that's it. I could narrow it more down. Oh, actually, I also included the people who are active on our list and who haven't bought a ticket yet on this teacher training. But nothing more. So then I created an ad, and that's when you choose post engagement, you have to choose an existing post. So this is, you can choose that here. I don't want to change it, just showing you where to, and you can see the recent posts here. And just choose the post you want to boost and then publish it. And then Facebook will find the people who want to see this video. And in order to get these views or get any value from these views, you have to create an audience. So let's look at that. If you go up here, you have audiences. And you can create two different kinds of audiences, basically. You can create lookalike audiences, or you can create custom audiences. So I just need to make sure I'm on the right account here. I don't think. Yes, I am. So you create a custom audience or a lookalike audience. That's the two audiences you'll want to create. I don't even know what this is, so forget it. But a custom audience is what we want to create here. I have already created one, so I'll just look at that. And it's called Through Plays, I think. Let's see? Yeah, so I've called it, this is a short for Danish teacher training and through plays. And now I click edit, and this is where if I created a new one, I would land here. And I basically just choose the videos that I want to look at. I just have to create, look at the right account. So that was the video before, and actually I just want to include these as well. So now I've included these videos, and I can click confirm. And that's it. I have an audience of people who viewed through these, people who either completed or viewed at least 15 seconds of your video. Okay.
So does this mean that an ad would be shown to these people?
Yeah, I will make an ad where this audience is shown to, or the ad is shown to this audience, or okay, this can be included with many other audiences. But it's a very effective way of targeting your audiences, because people who viewed through this are very likely to sign up.
Yeah.
Right. So if I just start a new custom audience, you can see you would have to choose video. So that was just to begin from the beginning. And then you can choose people who either completed or viewed at least 15 seconds of your video. I find that to be very useful, because then if you choose just 5 seconds, say, then you get all sorts of low quality leads, because many people will just scroll through a video and watch 3 seconds, and they're not likely to sign up for your email list. So I would highly recommend going for 15 seconds or more. Right? Does it make sense?
Oh, sorry, this is great advice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cool. So I've done this. My cousin has a shop, as I said, in southern Denmark, and there was a shop in a city of Odense where another shop closed, and they did a target. They had some videos, so they targeted an audience in Odense, and they got thousands of through plays, and then they targeted a lead ad for that audience, and they got some very, very cheap leads that way. And of course we've done that ourselves. So let's get back to the ads manager and see how we use this audience. So actually, this lead ad campaign here, I'm already using this audience, but I hadn't updated this audience with the latest videos we've made. So this was actually live in action. And let's see, I've done something wrong here. Did I? Oh, I just want to see this one. And I want to see this. So this is the lookalike ad set. This is not where I want to put this. This is not where I'm using the video through play audience. See, there, the other ad set. If I look at the audience here. Sorry for the shouting in the background. My wife's just killing some of the kids. We've got 5 kids at home.
Wow.
One of the oldest one left home. We used to have 6. Now we only have 5 and a dog. So you can see this audience is created out of many different audiences. And this is the through play. But I could easily create, if I've got enough video through plays, I could easily create an ad that was only running for through plays. I have done that. But for this particular ad, I have got many different audiences. I've got people who interacted with the Facebook page. I've got through plays on video. I've got some other video and interaction with a competition, and yeah, many different audiences. But that's a good way to use a video interaction or to create an audience with that. Also, do you want to maybe just look at some more audiences you can create? Or do you know
about that? I'm happy to do that. I just don't wish to take too much of your time, conscious that...
Oh, it's cool. It's cool. I'm here to help. And maybe somebody will see this video afterwards.
Mm.
And it's quite important to to know about this if you want to have success with your Facebook ads.
Great.
So what you want to do is, if you have an email list, you can create a custom audience from them. And Facebook will probably have between 60 and 70% of these of this email list in their database. That meaning the people who signed up for your email list will have the same email inside Facebook. So it's okay. You can, if you have 1,000 emails, then you can also show an ad to them. Maybe you're running a campaign and you want to show them an ad to remind them of the email campaign. That can be effective. Of course, not all of them will see it because some people doesn't have the same email on Facebook as they signed up for your email list, but it works. So you can create a custom audience from a customer list. This customer list, if you have an email list, of course, or a customer list, you can also create a lookalike audience. We'll get back to that. But the custom audience, we'll just click customer list and it tells you something about it. And then you have to tell Facebook if you have if your list include a column for customer value. Normally I would recommend choosing no for that. And then you have to choose your CSV file. And that's just a file you export from Simplero. And let's just try it. I think I have one here. Yeah, I do. And you must, of course, again, give it a name. Because otherwise you won't be able to tell what this is about. And probably the email is enough. Facebook will tell you to get more, like the name and stuff like that, but the email is the most important thing. And then you upload it. It looks like there are still 8 unmap identifiers in your file. Yeah, never mind. Upload anyway. And that's it. Now I have my custom audience here. It's below 1,000, but I think it's around 600, 700 or something like that. And with this audience, I could also create a lookalike audience. And that's very interesting because then people will look in your area and find people who look like this audience. You shouldn't do that if your audience is significantly below 1,000, right? If it is, then the lookalike audience will not be precise and it will not be useful. So just keep that in mind. If you don't have a large email list yet, don't create a lookalike audience from your email list. But then if you want to create a lookalike audience, that is people who look like your list or people who look like somebody else, you should create a list of around 200 to 250,000 people is what Facebook recommends. And I must say, it seems to work. In the beginning, I learned that I should keep this down to 1%, maybe 2%, but recently I spoke to Facebook and I said, just throw it up to 5% because that creates, in Denmark, that creates an audience of enough people so that Facebook's algorithms will do the work instead of your narrowing it down. So I have to select some audience. I already created test, I think I called it. Yeah. So I choose my list and then I choose my country, and that's Denmark, and it's actually spelled, oh, that's strange. There it is. Oh, now it's, oh yeah, that's because I changed to English for your, for you. Denmark, and then I will see that it's an estimate of 250,000 people. If you do it in England, maybe you should go down to 3% or 2% or whatever, but around 250,000 people is good for a cost, for a lookalike audience. Right? I will not create this one because I already have my lookalike audiences. You can also create a lookalike audience from your, whoever liked your Facebook page. Anyway, I must say, you first you create a custom audience, and from that custom audience you create a lookalike audience. But I have already created audiences of people who liked, I think, like. Let's see. Let's just oh yeah, no, you don't have to do that when it's a, when it's engagement with your Facebook, actually. So you just create a lookalike audience, I think, and you other sources.
Morten,
sorry,
is it possible to create a lookalike audience that's referencing someone else's audience?
You know? No.
Right.
No, you can't. So, to some degree, you can. What we haven't looked at yet is the Facebook pixel. You can create an audience from your Facebook pixel. Sorry, I'll just a lookalike audience, say from this pixel. And if you have somebody you work with, some partnership, you can exchange your Facebook pixels. They can put your pixel on their website. And we have that with Tanya's business. So there's an online store or online shop selling yoga equipment. That's the same audience, but she's not competing with us, and we're not competing with her because we're selling yoga teacher training and yoga training. And so we exchanged the Facebook pixels. We have her Facebook pixel on our websites, and she has our Facebook pixel on her website. So that way we can create an audience with people who visited her website. You get it?
Yeah, I get it. It's pretty clever.
Yeah. So you might want to think about that. Do you know how to install the Facebook pixel?
Sorry, I missed that. What was that you said?
Do you know how to install a Facebook pixel?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So this is an audience of people who visited this other website. It is not ours. So I haven't really checked how good that is, but it's quite normal that people are selling the right to have a Facebook pixel on a website. So you may want to ask partners about if they want to swap pixels. So lookalike audiences is great. To get out to a broader audience. And yeah, any questions about audiences. There are many different things to learn about this. So we can't, of course, this.
I think you've been very generous with your information, Morten.
That's no problem.
It's really great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very helpful. I was going to ask a question, which now has just slipped my mind. Oh, no, it was about converting. It's about ads. Yeah, I think ads which convert. What do you think converts best? Not necessarily, I don't mean in terms of the art, but rather the offer. You know, so someone, they're just signing up for a list and getting something.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what's the something that works the best?
Oh, yeah. So can you just repeat what you were selling?
Well, it's personal development information.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts as, we'll say, like webinar style thing, and it goes through to courses.
Yeah.
Plus other stuff. Mm.
So what I would recommend is you focus on giving people something, of course, relevant to buying what you want to sell them. And try to not give away too much how-to information, because that tends to just confuse people, and it tends to be it tends to get you leads that are freebie seekers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would recommend giving people advice about what to do and maybe something diagnosing them. So I have a psychologist who, maybe she'll create a video about what happens in the brain when you walk past a baker's shop or ice cream shop or whatever, and you just decided that you didn't want to eat candy this week, but then you go in and buy something. So she'll create a video about that and give people information about what happens in their brains scientifically. And that is information they are interested in, but she's not giving away anything from her course. She's just demonstrating that she has knowledge about it. That tends to be to work better than just giving people, you know, if you have a course on sleeping better, then you give them 3 out of 10 chapters of your course or whatever, one chapter. It can work, but it tends to work better than to show them what to do, not how to do it, and diagnose. And then the minute they come in onto your email list, you put a link to your offer right away. You don't try to do goodwill emails and try to make them believe you're not selling anything. Be honest about it. Just don't push anything. Just give them the link to your offer and then give them 2 to 3 weeks to buy this special offer, typically. Not too long, not too short, depending on the offer, of course. But then you should send them at least, I would say, one email a day, but you can do with less. You'll probably be shocked to know how many emails we send through the yoga teacher training course. For the yoga teacher training course, they're getting around 2 emails a day.
Wow.
And if you look at this ad campaign, I'll just share the other screen, this one. She sent out, I think, 2 emails a day for a month. And she didn't get many complaints or spam reports or anything. Unsubscribes. No, she sold 9 spots at a new teacher training at 22,000 Danish kroner. So be there in their inbox for the first 2 to 3 weeks and write more than many people would expect sell right away, and just be, you know, give them value, but with value, it might as well be entertainment and demonstrating your knowledge about the problem you're solving, and then testimonials. Remember to add in testimonials in your emails. Create emails that just one testimonial per email. Short emails with testimonials is good. If you can, every second email should be a testimonial. That's my experience. You might experience something else, but did you ask about the offer?
Yeah, I did. And I think actually what it would be in this instance as a lead magnet is really signing in up for a newsletter.
Yeah. But you would want to have something to sell them right away. And this teacher training, we're not selling them. Some people say, try to sell them something cheap first and then sell them something expensive after.
Yeah.
That's not my experience. We sell this teacher training at $5,000 or £4,000, I think. I don't know the course right now, but we sell that right away, and we're honest about it, and they have a coupon code. It's always a good thing to give them a coupon code for signing up.
Very good.
And, yeah.
I'm looking at the US as a market, and I think it plays quite differently in terms of what people will do. They're actually quite happy to go through a funnel, I think, there.
Yeah.
Whereas in my space, in Australia and the UK, I think people are less comfortable with a funnel.
All right.
Yeah. But anyway, look, I'm really so grateful for what you've done. I don't wish to sort of hog.
If you have any more questions, I will answer them gladly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. No, I'm fine. I'm really grateful to you both for staying on, and maybe Paro's in the background somewhere. I can't tell. Anyway, right. Very helpful, especially all of the in-depth stuff around ads, Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And that good tip about creating a stopover list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. If you want to email, have any questions, just drop me an email and I'll be happy to answer.
Oh, that's great of you. Thanks.
Okay.
Go and enjoy your candy.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.